These are stories of women, mothers, and enterprises filled with grit, gumption, and overcoming. Where in the midst of adversity, we see her rise up. She makes a choice. She chooses to emerge. I'm your host, Becca Erickson. Hey, on today's episode, we sit down and talk with Allison Surratt, who lived through the most inconceivable pain, the unexpected death of her young son. Hey, and welcome to this week's To Emerge podcast. I am joined by Twin Cities mom, Allison Surratt, and we are going to listen to her story of trauma and recovery and healing as a mama. So, Allison, welcome.
Thank you.
So glad to have you.
Thank you.
So can you take us back a few years, you know, beginning parts of motherhood and just share your experience?
So let's see. My husband and I got married and, you know, wanted to live the American dream, have babies and the whole thing. So we started to, you know, think about our family, and it was, you know, we thought you just decide you want to have a baby and then you get a baby. But as most people know, that's not really how it goes. So took a little bit of time, and then we got pregnant and we were so excited. And then we had our son, Leo, and my husband was studying to be a CPA. And so in the meantime, I was working and he was studying full time. That was his full time job. We were very fortunate to be able to do that. But he also needed his time to study, so we needed childcare. And we were fortunate enough to have one of my good friends' mom be able to take care of him. And so she was our nanny, whatever you want to call it. It was just her and him. And one day when I was at work, I got a frantic phone call from her saying that I needed to hurry over to her house and something was wrong. And I actually knew in my heart and in my gut that moment that he had passed away. She didn't tell me anything. She didn't even tell me. I mean, she told me nothing. I had no details.
So here's a woman who's presumably in her 50s or 60s and had raised her own children.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
I mean,
in her shoes, what, I mean.
Right.
How do you even make this phone call?
Right. Right.
So was it the tone of her voice or it was your mama bear heart that knew something was.
I think it was just like my heart. It just sank and shattered into pieces and I collapsed right into our front entryway of our office. And
how'd you even drive anywhere?
I didn't. So my office was right next, or my area was right next to my boss's office. So she came running out and she was like, "What is going on?" And she picked me up off the ground and she was in a panic. And one of my other really good friends that was a coworker was walking by too. And he's like, "I can't let you all drive right now." So he
that was really sensitive of him.
Wow. So he came and he sat in the back seat with me, and then my boss drove us and we were driving there, and I was calling the mom over and over and over again because I still didn't really truly even know what had happened. I didn't know if he was choking or if a car accident. I had no idea. She just said, "You need to come to my house." So we drove there, and then when we got there, you know, it was the whole scene, the 10 cop cars and the fire truck and an ambulance and a detective car. And like, I mean, it was like a whole
movie. So you're like, it's irreversible, whatever it is that I'm about to see.
Right.
And like, how old is Leo?
He was 2 months and 22 days. So.
Oh my.
Just a tiny baby.
Oh my goodness. So you walk in and is she, like, with police or is she available?
Yes. Yeah, so we pull up and, I try to run out of the car, and I'm trying to run into the house, and a police officer, you know, strong arms me.
It's like the movies. Right,
yes, completely.
And the mom is like, "I'm the mom."
Yes. Yes. I was screaming at him, and I was like, "I'm the mom. I need to go in there. I need to go in there." And he grabs my shoulders, and he's like, "You can't go in there." And I was like, I need to go in there. I need to go in there. I need to hold him. You know, I need to see him. And he was like, I can't let you pass. And I actually started like banging on his chest, just hitting him like crazy. And he just grabbed me and hugged me. And he just kept whispering that he was so sorry.
And so he already knew. You didn't even know. Mm-hmm. So you basically found out from a cop.
Yep.
Yeah. You're like, you're sorry for what?
Right. I was like, okay. Oh, well, so listen. That was the first time that it was confirmed, and still I didn't know what had even happened.
Confirmed with nothing visible. Yeah.
No idea. No idea.
Wow.
So then it's a whole, you know, I think we were there for 3 hours.
Right. In a blur. In a fog that you can't even put words to.
Yeah.
Right.
Just sitting in the driveway. There was gawkers and, you know, tons of people trying to walk up and say, what's going on? What's happening here? You know, and neighbors rushing over and my parents driving there and my brother. So I worked with my brother at the same office. So we had to call him and tell him to leave the office and come there. And all the while, I couldn't get a hold of Ben this whole time, my husband, the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Right, he's studying. And
he was studying, had his phone off, couldn't. So.
So did they allow you to see Leo, or it was turned into an entire, like, taped off scene?
Yep, it was like a whole taped off scene. They,
Wait, they didn't let you hold your own baby?
No.
You know what's so interesting when they, in animation or movies, when the husband dies and the woman is like kissing him, and
right.
As a kid,
and, like,
I was like,
him and,
why in the world is she kissing a dead man?
Oh yeah.
Until you grow up and you learn, this is about a bond. It's not about whether breath is in a living being or no breath is. You know, I'm sure for you, you were dying in your heart that you couldn't even hold your human.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just sitting outside, just having to just wait. And then.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And then they finally came over and told us that he had fallen asleep and just didn't wake up.
Right. Do they still term that as SIDS? I mean, is that still what they're saying?
Well, so. Later, we found out that she had actually put him on an adult mattress.
Oh.
And with blankets and pillows. So his was positional asphyxiation because of his circumstance. So
normally you would nap him in a crib or.
Yeah. He had a pack and play there. So we still don't really know why the pack and play was not being utilized for his sleeping. For whatever reason, she had put him on an adult mattress with the blankets and the pillows and the quilts and all of that. And still don't know how long he was unconscious for. I mean, really, we don't know any of that. It was super traumatic. And the officers finally let us in. And when we went in, the detective that had first stopped me before we went in. And he said, I've been doing this for a really long time. And he said, I'm not supposed to tell you what to do here.
Right.
He said, you know, because I don't want to scar you or, you know, whatever. He said, but I've been doing this for a really long time. And if I were you, I would choose to remember him in the way that you know him.
Yeah.
And to not go in there and hold him.
So he was like purple and right. So they said,
because it had been,
it's going to scar you, Allison.
Completely. They said he does not even seem somewhat lifelike at this point. It had been 6 hours. So at that point, it's, you know, there's no color. And I mean, it's just like so scarring. I mean, he even said, like, he's like, I'm not going to be able to recover from this.
Did you take his advice?
Mm-hmm. So we walked in. We just wanted to, like, even know that he was in there, you know?
Right. Like, is this really happening?
Yeah.
Is it?
So we just walked in and we saw an officer was holding him. And so they told us, like, since we got here, this officer has been holding him the whole time.
Right. So that heals a little tiny part of you.
Yeah.
But, wow.
So, yeah.
And so what's the memory you chose to keep for Leo?
It's hard because I can recite and remember every inch of that day, every millisecond of the whole thing. But I also do remember so much of him, you know, being our firstborn.
Yeah.
So not sleeping. And like the whole craziness of, oh my gosh, we're going home and this baby is actually coming with us.
With no manual.
Yeah. No.
So like, you're like, what exactly, what memory do you want me to hold? Was it the was it the sleep depravity, officer? What was it, the diarrhea?
Like, the constant poop everywhere?
Was it the time I ate the broccoli and he got the which part did you want me to hang on to? Sure.
Right. So, yeah. He, I mean, so we have all of those. And we thankfully had taken, I don't know, 15 videos of him in 2 months, which...
In true at the firstborn
time,
fashion.
Right. At the time, I'm sure I was like, okay, do I really need another video of him, like, sucking his thumb on, or, like, sucking this pacifier? Yeah. But now I'm like, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need all of those. And right. I will repost all of 27 of the
every
2 months
dumb
videos
days
that he has. You know, like, all the ones that people are like, okay, I don't care about this video. But I'm like, but I do, you know?
Yeah.
So
when you repost a video of Leo... Is it every year you're out one step further, or is it still equally traumatic?
It's, I feel like the first year is the worst year, for sure, hands down.
Like you hit his first birthday and you're like, OMG, I don't want to be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything is a trigger in the first year. You know, somebody just walks past you and has a baby that should be the same age and you're just done for. Like somebody has... When my son started taking swimming lessons, we had another boy in the class named Leo. Mm. And, you know, so then that was a whole thing. Like, so it's like constantly something is going to make you trip up. But it is I hated the most of all when people would say, when time heals all wounds, because.
Yeah, people's platitudes.
Right.
We talk about that a lot.
Right.
What were people's platitudes that made you say, you don't have a clue?
Right. That was one of them that I was just like, no, it does not. But now at this point, it's not that it's healed and it's not that I've like forgotten anything. It's not any of that. It's more just you can, I don't know, you're
right,
more
now
removed
you're,
from the situation.
You're called
like,
to be a mom to two other kids now.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Right.
So you got to do that well.
Right.
Yeah.
I have things that I have chosen to survive for, you know, my husband and my family and my other two kids that are here. And I can't sit and be that person that I was in the first year of losing him.
Right.
I can't be that person anymore.
Yeah. So because you experience that deep, hopeless feeling, you know, that incredible loss, you're up against this adversity that most moms don't experience.
Yeah.
What do you do with it, you know, to make positive energy come out of something traumatic? Like, how do you keep looking forward and say, I will get through this as long as I do?
Yeah. So we had a total. So Philip is our subsequent baby, our rainbow. And he actually was like a 1000% accident baby, which like, I don't know if I should tell him that when he's older, like that might be
probably
scarring
not
to him, but
stick with rainbow.
Right. I mean, we were actively like, we can't do this. We can't have another kid right now.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
But we have said so many times, like God was like, no, you're having a baby. Like you need this. This is what I know that you need.
Yeah.
Even if you think you don't need this. And so we got pregnant only 3 months after he had passed away. Hmm. And it was, and when I got pregnant, I was mad.
Right.
I was so mad. I did not want this other baby. I felt like I had done something wrong
Isn't it interesting how we do that to ourselves?
Yeah.
That we owe a loyalty to someone right. where, you know, your memory deserves 12 years of grief. Well, really? Can we quantify that?
Like, right.
So I will not conceive a child because I don't deserve
right.
to ever feel happy.
Right.
Really, well, like, why do we do that to ourselves?
Right. You it's know. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. And then I remember thinking, like, I don't deserve to be happy in this whole pregnancy. I don't deserve to enjoy this. I don't deserve to, you know, because then it's diminishing him right. and it's right. making it seem like he was never even here and we yeah. just had a replacement baby. And
sure. We're not actually honoring his yeah. life and gosh.
All of it.
Those crazy lies that
yes,
maybe
so
the
many.
People with the platitudes were saying right. silently or maybe right. you were
completely.
Just spoon feeding right. yourself. The, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then what about, so did you have Philip and then start your cause?
So, no, we actually started that before I got pregnant.
Okay.
It was like maybe a month after he had passed away. We people were so generous yeah. to us and just gave us so much that we just felt like this is just more than we need or yeah. should have or, you know, we – went to Faith's Lodge. Have you ever heard of that place?
Okay.
It's in Wisconsin. It's for like bereaved parents. Yeah. So we went there, and when we were there, we were just awestruck by how many people were there and how many times this has happened. And I mean, there is that 1 in 4 statistic, but I do think that statistic maybe applies to more of a miscarriage situation rather than an actual. They blanket it as stillbirth, miscarriage. Child loss.
Yeah.
But I think it, I mean, it might actually be even more child loss now that I, like, the amount of people that I know that it's actually happened to.
Sure.
So we just felt like, what can we do to.
Yeah. For even all these people that are
even,
here at this lodge.
Yeah, yeah. Even just make them feel like we got it. We got it with you. Like, I can look you in the eyes and say, like, I understand.
Yeah.
Which is just. Crazy, you know, even yeah. if you just you never know us, you never even see our face, you know,
right?
You just know that somebody right. else
has gone before you.
Yeah,
yeah, there's so much peace in that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So hit, like, I don't know why we always felt like his color was yellow. It was just kind of like surrounded him, and so we decided to call it Boxes of Sunshine. And so we created a box with a bunch of Etsy shops and small business owners. And the whole box was all yellow, everything in it. So we had like healing items. Like there was a devotional that somebody had donated to us. We had scriptures on pictures. We had what else do we have? We had a glass hummingbird. We had bath salts and eye pillows and candles. And at one point I had somebody who lived in Costa Rica, I think, was sending us bracelets with the initial of the baby. So I would send it to her, over to her,
yeah,
send her the name of the baby, and she would send it back
right
with the initial on it. I mean, right. it was like personalized.
All these women entrepreneurs
yes.
pouring into this box.
Yes.
Right. It gives you almost this another level of like.
Yes. Just like it, even more. Like, and then, you know, we were just like on a high from that with like all of these people helping so much with us. And the saddest part of it is just that it's just mailing is
yeah.
ridiculously expensive. It costs about $40 to $50 per box. And right. so the money goes real fast when it costs that much.
Mm-hmm.
We did send about 75, I want to say. I mean, it might have even been more than that, honestly. But I know the last time we had counted was about 75.
And Allison, what if you sent one?
Right.
I mean,
right.
each one has to represent something about, you know, just taking an explosion in your life and pushing it forward.
Right.
You know, or literally pushing it through the mail to someone else.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And it doesn't replace Leo.
No.
And it doesn't heal anything.
No.
It just shifts the mindset to say,
right,
I'm going to do something good with yeah. this major trauma.
Right. I wow. just needed other people to have any semblance or any sort of something on a horrible.
No kidding.
Time of their
Yeah.
You know, and it somehow it always seemed like we would get a couple like thank you cards from people, and every once in a while when we would get them back, people would be like, this came, you know, the week of their anniversary, or this came.
Of course it did.
Yeah. This came the odd day that we got another horrible news from something. You know, it just kept somehow coming when people needed it. So yeah.
Right. And you're like, okay, that's what I'm going to put up on my bulletin board, because that brings me a little bit of reason. Wow. Okay. So take me to, you know, the rock bottom lowest moment. Maybe it was in the driveway. Maybe it was hitting the police. I mean, take me to rock bottom. And I'm sure everything around you was dizzy and spinning and blurry. And it probably felt like the earth fell out from under you. What was still there?
Yeah, I think the rock bottom was when we chose to not go back to our apartment.
Oh, okay.
Our landlord was so gracious to us, and they gifted us our apartment for 2 months rent free, so we didn't have to go back. So we stayed at my mom's, but I think it was the day we went, like, the day it happened when we went back, and Ben and I were just laying in the room, and I just kept thinking, like, this didn't even happen. There's no way. This is just a bad dream.
Yeah, shock. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does that to us, how we can't even figure out.
You can't even, like, fathom that it actually happened, or that it is still currently happening. You know, I'm thinking.
Right, like.
Yeah. I'm just going to go to bed.
Is this real?
I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to wake up and it's all going to be fine again. I think, honestly, what I had was, and I tell him this all the time, was my husband was the biggest rock and supporter. And he somehow, when I was in my lowest, he was able to be even and, you know, stay even keel. And
well, he is a CPA after all.
Right. Right. But he was just able to just make sure that we kept our heads above water always, the whole time. And throughout all of Philip's pregnancy and my whole meltdown with that. And then, you know, after of how we were thinking, how on earth are we ever going to put our children in daycare ever again? You know, and that whole thing. And me deciding to leave my job. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was the whole, it was everything. I mean, he seriously, he's the reason that I'm okay. He's the reason that I'm, like, still alive.
Yeah.
I tell him that all the time, because there are so many times that I was like, I don't even care. I'm just going to leave you and
have fun. Checked out.
Yep. Have fun. I got to go be with my baby. You know, like, I can't. I can't continue on with all of this.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, he just deserves a badge of honor.
He does. He does.
That's amazing.
For sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So no one else can see this, but you have tattoos.
Yes.
Do any of them have a significance with Leo?
Yes. This turtle shell does on my shoulder. So he was a pretty ornery baby. Very fussy. Yeah. And so we called him Turd all the time.
Yeah.
And then we felt like that's, like, kind of a sad nickname to give to a baby. And we were, like, picturing, we're like, oh, when he walks down, like, in your high school yearbook, and they're like, oh, Turd, we're so proud of you. Like, we were like, that's, like, a little something. So we were like, oh, we'll start calling him Turtle. Yeah. And he, like, his front lip was pretty pointed, you know, like a turtle's face was. Yeah. So we were like, so it all just fits.
Yeah.
So me and my husband have this one. And then we got this ampersand for our project. We found that ampersand, like, a long time ago, scrolling on Pinterest at some point after he had passed away. And it said the ampersand is a broken infinity, showing that nothing truly lasts forever, but there's always an and.
Wow.
So that's why we chose that.
So I'll be going to go get that tattoo.
Yes.
Thank you.
I mean, it's so fitting for just everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're just going to call your segment Ampersand.
Like, perfect.
Wow. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
So
right, and then the cause was Leo and
yes,
right,
yes,
for all the and 75 people that you
right,
said
and so then that was our other thought was Project Leo William and
yeah,
fill in the blank of your baby's
your
name, you know
name.
We yeah
yeah, that's so, really awesome
yeah,
wow, you have an incredibly powerful story.
Thank you.
I don't even know how you get through it.
Thank you.
I've got three kids myself.
Yeah,
you know, didn't ever lose a living child. But miscarried, and it's traumatic.
Yeah,
and
it's
amazing that you can sit here and tell me, you know, like you've got some real grit.
Thank you.
So thank you, Allison Surratt, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And just go out and keep doing the, you know, the things in life that get broken, but keep on going.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The 2 Emerge podcast is brought to you by Emerge Mothers Academy. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a positive review. A special thanks to our media manager, Laurel Goulson, and to Jessica Manning for our music.